Your Bibles to Ephesians 6. We are continuing the message or series of messages that we began sometime in January. We did key number 2 last week, faith. First key being prayer. And today we'll talk about obedience. Actually, meant for both of them to go together because they do go together, as Scripture teaches us. But let's begin by reading Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we look to God's Word together this morning. Once again, Heavenly Father, we give all honor and glory and praise to You. We thank You so much for Your presence in this place. And we pray, God, for Your Holy Spirit to continue to move upon us as we look to Your Word. God, we pray for Your anointing to be poured out upon Your servant today, but also upon every hearer here. May we hear from You, God, today. May we be strengthened in our faith and our ability to serve You. And we ask all of these things in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. We read this scripture this morning by way of introduction because it reminds us that we are involved in a struggle, that we're just not on a cruise to heaven. We're in a battle to heaven. Not that we have to fight our way to God. As we celebrated this morning, Jesus Christ did all the fighting we need to receive the forgiveness that God grants for us in our lives. But we do need to fight for the kingdom of God, against the adversities we face as believers. And there are many adversities. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are an enemy of Satan. He is, as Hal Lindsey writes, or has authored one of his books, or titled one of his books, alive and well and living on planet Earth. And this scripture reminds us that we are in a battle against him for the kingdom. His goal is to take you out. His goal is to take your family out. His goal is to keep those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior shrouded under a veil of darkness so that they can never accept Jesus. His goal is to defeat anything that God wants to do, and God has called us to stand for him. Of course, there are other struggles that we are involved with. Satan is not the only adversary that we have in life. In fact, the greatest adversary I think we have in life is ourselves, is the person that we look in the mirror every day. We struggle with temptation. And although Satan is the tempter, the Bible says a man sins when he's enticed by his own lust and drawn away from God. And so we have a struggle with sin. We also have the struggle with the flesh, which, yes, wants to sin, but the flesh is also something that does not want to worship God. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have a brand new purpose and destiny in our lives. And that's to give glory and honor and praise to God in everything that we do. From the rising of the sun to the going down the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised and in our lives. The flesh doesn't always want to cooperate with that mandate that we have from God, and so we have a struggle against that. And we also mentioned the struggle that we have with other people. How if we truly know Jesus Christ as our Savior and we are living for Him with all of our hearts, we will be persecuted by men. And yes, Satan is after us, but people who live in darkness will be against us as well. Now we're not fighting them. Bless God. Amen? As our text mentioned this morning, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. We want to win those people to Jesus. And so we're not trying to take our frustrations out on them. But it's still something, persecution is something in our heart that we, with God's power, need to overcome. And so we began to talk about the different keys necessary to overcome these various adversities in our life. We talked about the importance of prayer. And if you don't pray, don't expect anything to happen. Jesus prayed. The Apostle Paul prayed. Peter prayed. Great men of God prayed, and great women of God prayed. And when they prayed, things happened. As we read in James chapter 5, the man Elijah, great, powerful man of God, prophet of God, prayed, and for 3 years there was no rain in the land. Can you imagine? And God's word said it was a result of one man's prayer. Yes, it was the power of God. But it was because one man prayed. And then he prayed again. And when he prayed, what do you think happened? And not in a week or a month or even a day. Within minutes of his prayer, a mighty rain came gushing down upon the land of Israel. And there was plenty in the land. Prayer is powerful. If we don't pray, we can't expect to see God move. God wants, not that God can't. God can do anything. But it's God's desire that we do pray, because when we pray, we show our dependence upon Him. And then last week we began to talk about faith and how it's important that we believe God. And some of the things that we talked about last week, we talked about faith and different dimensions of faith. Faith is knowing when to believe God for deliverance, and then but also when to believe God for endurance. Because as far as anyone who's been serving God for any time knows, adversity comes, but the resolution to that adversity doesn't always come instantaneously or when we want it to come. And so we need to understand God's timing. And some things, and I hate to say it, but I have to be honest with people, some things we carry throughout our lives. Apparently the Apostle Paul did with the thorn that he had in his flesh. And God's deliverance for him was His grace. And it's important that we understand how God is going to deliver us so that we don't get discouraged. So we talked about that aspect of faith. We talked about how faith is that firm persuasion that God will do what He promised, what He says He'll do. We talked about how faith also understands that even when things are bad, God still loves us, that He hasn't forsaken us, and that God will work all things together for His good. Amen. Even when things go bad, there's something good that will come out of that. But not separate, actually part of faith, in our third key that we're going to talk about today, is the importance of obedience. Because Scripture tells us faith is nothing without obedience. We read about that in James chapter 2, verse 17. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, a couple things I want to say about that. First, in order for your faith to be real, you need to act on it. And continue to act on it. Because what that scripture plainly tells us this morning, if we don't act on what we believe, then we really don't believe what God has spoken to us at all. Now, as far as building faith, and we mentioned this last week a little bit, but let me rehearse this once again. One of the greatest struggles that we have in believing God for things is when things don't quite go the way that we want them to or we expect them to do. When we either read a scripture or the Spirit of God speaks to our heart, we know that God's going to deliver, and all of a sudden things go in the complete opposite direction that we expect them to be, to go. Something happens. Instead of things getting better, things get worse. Instead of things getting easier, things get harder. Instead of a quick resolution, and I don't know about you, but there have been times where God has spoken to my heart or it's plain in the Word that God is going to take care of me. I think anyone who's ever lived for God or served for God at some time has had some kind of financial issue in your life, some kind of financial need, and you were hoping for that need to be taken care of, and the due date for that need to be, for that debt to be paid gets closer and closer and closer, yet nothing seems to be happening. In fact, some of you might even have more bills come on top of that. Time goes on, and as time goes on and things don't get better and things get worse, we can get discouraged. We can be allow despair to come into our lives, which can harm our faith or our ability to trust God completely. And one of the things that will help us to maintain our faith, and faith is so critical because the Bible says without faith it is impossible to believe God, is to continue, no matter what is going on around us, to continue to obey the Lord, to act upon the promises that God has laid upon our hearts. Now, when we think about faith and we think about maintaining faith in the face of adversity, in the face of disappointment, in the face of discouragement, of course we think about being prayerful. And again, as I mentioned before, all four of these keys are all intermingled. They're not really separate from each other. They relate to each other. And as far as being people who want to see God move in their lives and prevail in whatever struggles that they're going through personally or whatever struggles that their family might be going through, we need to pray that God would move either in our lives to give us the strength to overcome the things that we're struggling with or for a situation in our family to be resolved or for God to be glorified in our job or whatever life situation that we might be in. But we also need to pray that God would strengthen our faith, that our faith would not fail in times of trouble. And I think the greatest way, in addition to asking, because the Bible says if we ask, we will receive, if we seek, we'll find, if we knock, the door will be open. God, increase our faith. The apostles prayed that. And the Lord answered their prayer. But also to pray in the Spirit. The Bible says when we pray in the Spirit, and I pray and I encourage everyone here, if you haven't experienced that second work of grace of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that you continue to seek God for that and be open to God to filling you with His power, might, and truth, because 1 Corinthians 14, and I know I share the scripture often, but it's an important spiritual concept to get a hold of. He who prays in an unknown tongue edifies or builds himself or herself up. You want to be strengthened in faith, pray. Ask God to strengthen your faith. But pray in the Spirit, and you'll be amazed. As you pray in the Holy Spirit, how God will strengthen the spiritual person that is within you. And of course, as far as faith, not only should we pray in the Spirit, but we think of the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you want to be a faithful person, continue to study the Word of God. But when your faith is being shaken, and everyone's faith is shaken at some point in their lives, especially when they're hit in the face with impossible circumstance, if you want to maintain your faith, continue to be obedient in what God has called you to do. Because obedience is where faith is perfected. James 2:17. Faith without works is dead. Now, when we talk about obedience, what are we talking about? Well, of course, when we're thinking about God delivering in certain situations or circumstances, we think about acting upon whatever deliverance we're expecting God to do. For instance, and now, when I say that, I'm not advocating foolishness. And I'm not trying to speak disparagingly to people, but we need to use wisdom. For instance, you know, God might speak to your heart regarding a physical healing, and you know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, you may know that God is going to heal you. You know, there are scriptures that God has spoken to you. The Spirit of God has spoken to you. That doesn't necessarily mean you throw all your medicine out of the window. And for some people, they may need to do that. If you do that, be sure that God tells you to do that specifically. I'm not trying to sow doubt here, but I am trying to sow wisdom, because I know of certain situations, some documented situations, where people had that expectation that they were healed, stopped taking their medicine, and ended up seriously ill, some even dying. But there are things that we can do in obedience when God speaks to our heart. For instance, if someone is going through a divorce, they've given up hope on their spouse, and in praying about that, God spoke to their heart and said, I'm going to restore your marriage. Well, a faithful, obedient thing to do at that point would be to stop those divorce proceedings and to begin to wait upon God for God to fulfill His word. But there's another aspect of obedience that I'd like to share with you this morning that I think is important, especially when our faith is challenged. And that's by continuing to live for and continuing to serve God, even though our heart is crumbling. Because as I mentioned a few moments ago, as believers, in contending with the enemy or ourselves or this world, we're going to suffer setbacks in the struggles that we face. There'll be challenges, and everyone will be challenged. And not only will challenges come your way as far as the situations that you're believing God for, sometimes will get worse, or nothing will happen, and it may be days, weeks, even years before you see God move. There are very few superhuman people who can maintain a strong faith throughout all of that. I think of the classic example I think of is the man Abraham. Abraham was known as a great man of faith, the father of us all, I think Jesus referred to him as. Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him as righteousness. Now, when he was 99 years old, God spoke to him, and spoke to him something that if I was 99, I'd have a tough time believing too, that he was going to have a son with his 90-year-old wife. In our last church, whenever I brought that up, we had a guy in his 80s. And he told his wife they were going to have separate bedrooms after he heard that, after he read that scripture. But listen to the response of Abraham. This is the mighty man of faith. When he heard he was going to have a child with his 90-year-old wife, Sarah. Genesis 17:17, Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? We remember this story. We remember Sarah laughing, but a lot of times we forget Abraham laughed too. This can't happen. And this is somewhat of a humorous thing, but it was a very serious issue that Abraham was believing God for. And that was a son to fulfill the promise of God that he would have an heir through which a great nation would be formed that would bless all the nations of the world. And God waited until he was 99 years old and his wife was 90, far past the years of childbearing. And I read that story this morning, not to poke fun at Abraham, but to remind ourselves we're all going to struggle with faith. But it's a matter of how do we work through that struggle when things seem impossible. And that's when we need to understand that even though things are impossible and they bring us to a place of discouragement, we need to obey God anyway. I think, and I'm not saying this isn't part of faith, but in talking about what faith is, I think many times believers feel that faith is something that's purely emotive. It's an emotional thing. It's a thing that we feel in our heart, and that's true. But sometimes what we feel in our heart is not as strong as it should be. But even though what we feel in our heart isn't as strong as it should be, that doesn't negate God's calling upon our lives to live by faith and to walk by faith. And that's where we need to understand that faith is something that we not only have in our heart, but it's also something that we exercise with our mind and practice with our bodies. Faith without works is dead. James puts it this way in James chapter 2, verse 18. Someone will say, "You have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." What is he saying there? In the follow-up to the previous verse in James chapter 2, verse 17, he's saying, faith isn't just something you feel in your heart. Faith is something you do with your hands, you say with your mouth. You walk with your feet. You think with your mind. It encompasses every aspect of who you are. And it's important that you have that three-pronged approach to faith. Your mind, your heart, and your hands. Because when one is weak, the other two are strong. And continue to bear up so that what you can continue to be rewarded by God. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And faith, yes, is not only acting on what God has promised to us in our lives, but faith also maintains living for Jesus in the face of discouragement and despair. We looked at Abraham, but few of us, when we're faced with some kind of crushing blow, defeat, impossible circumstance to the important things that or struggles that we're going through in our lives, few of us laugh as Abraham laughed. Most of us cry. And when you're down and in despair, the last thing you want to do is continue to move on or to move forward. In fact, the biggest temptation there is when you're struggling with doubt and despair is maintaining your obedience, is continuing to live for Jesus. You struggle with the feeling of just giving up. I'd like to share with you, and I think the best example of we have of someone who maintained this obedient faith in Scripture was the man Joseph. And there are many others, but a great example is the man Joseph. Who was Joseph? He was a mighty man of God. He was a prophet. He was a seer. At a young age, imagine 17 years old, he's receiving dreams and visions from God. And he knew they were. I believe when he shared with his brothers, he just wasn't saying, I had a funny dream last night. All this stuff happened, isn't it? No, this was of God, and it related to their future and their destiny, and he knew that. And you can tell he knew that by their response of jealousy. He honored God. He served God. He did what was right, even though it might not make him popular. It would be a good youth thing for tonight, talk about Joseph. And what did it get him? His brothers threw him in a pit, sold him as a slave, and then he tried to do his best as a slave, and he got thrown into prison. The master of his house, his wife, made advances toward him. He shunned those advances because he was a man of God. She lied, and he paid the price and was thrown in prison. And there he stayed. I'm not sure exactly how the breakdown was, but as a slave and in prison, he stayed for 13 years. I don't know about you. Now, what his promise was, for those who might not be familiar with the story, God promised him that somehow, some way, he would be over his brothers, and his brothers would bow down to him. And I don't think at all, and I don't get that at all from what I read about his story, that he was conceited in any way in doing this. He knew it related somehow to the future of Israel. So God lays this promise on him, and what happens? Things get worse. He doesn't become a leader of his brothers. He becomes a prisoner of the heathen, if I hate to use that term, of of ungodly people, people who despised him. He was a nobody. And no one had any need to listen to him. He wasn't a citizen. I'm not sure what the political setup was in Egypt at that time, but I'm sure an Egyptian had more rights or at least more consideration than a Jew, since Egyptians wouldn't even eat at the same table as a Jewish person. And I try to put myself in his shoes. What would I do? I did the right thing. God spoke. And I got sold as a slave, and then I became a prisoner. I'm not going to bother anymore. But as a man of great faith, he continued, and I believe in his heart he did not waver, or at least waver much at all. I'm sure he had his moments, because he's human. He continued to trust God. Doesn't say that in Scripture. Never says, as you read through the account of his prison years, Joseph trusted God. But we know he trusted God because it's proved in his actions. He continued to serve God in his heart by living right before God. He had his opportunity to have an affair with Potiphar's wife. Maybe as a man, that was something that would have satisfied the physical need that was within him. Alone and sorrowful, maybe just the comfort of a woman would have been comforting to him. Or maybe, you know, she threatened him. She was the leader. Maybe he said, I don't want to do this, but I'll go ahead and do it anyways. I don't want to get in trouble. And obviously he did. Because he was a man of faith, he maintained his ways before God and stopped giving up on God. And then he gets thrown into prison. And what does he do at the prison? If you read the story, at the prison he just doesn't sit there and sulk, woe is me. Take his cup and go across the bars. I don't know if they do that anymore. He behaves honorably in the prison, so much so that the jailer puts him, a Hebrew, in charge of all the prisoners who are there. He continues to act wisely and right before God. And not only because he thought, maybe I'll get a way out, he wanted to do this because he wanted to show to the world who he was before God. He is a man of God. Is someone who does well, because he wants to glorify God in everything that he does. And he was, and this is a little off topic, but I do want to put this in as well. So I think it's important. He wasn't vengeful. He wasn't vengeful to his oppressors. When Pharaoh had those two dreams that foretold of the impending famine upon not only Egypt but the whole world, he didn't sit and say to himself, oh, it'll be good enough for him. God will pay him back for all the misery, and his people back for all the misery they have given me. He told Pharaoh without any expectation what those dreams meant, so that Pharaoh and the world would be provided for. Same with his brothers. He played with them a little bit. But he loved them. And he restored a relationship within them and took care of them. Friend, part of living by faith is continuing to obey God in your heart by living right. And I'm not, why bother trying anymore to live for Jesus and, you know, trying to overcome some of the passions that I have in my life? Why bother? Person of faith, when they don't feel it here, continue to do so anyways. And a person of faith, I don't know why. You know, I think of different people live, you know, work with kids or adults. Listen, and working with kids and adults, the only difference is they're a little bigger and a little more wrinkly. You know, you preach, you give, you know, you do all this stuff, and sometimes the reward isn't evident. You know, why do I bother doing it? It's not making any difference. God's called you to continue to serve. Continue to be honorable in your job. Even when you didn't get the promotion that you thought you were going to get, a raise didn't come through, you continue to act honorably before God, living by faith. And that's the faith. Faith that believes in the heart, believes in the mind, acts out in the hands, the feet, the mouth. That is the faith, the full faith, that God rewards in the name of Jesus. I'd like to ask our musicians to come this morning. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our hearts together. Jesus, we worship you. Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glorify your name. Jesus. Hallelujah. First thing I'd like to say, wrestling with doubt is just like wrestling with sin. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to give in to temptation. But temptation is common to everyone. We all will struggle with it, this side of our resurrected bodies. The same with doubt. Just because doubt comes into your life doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. It means you're human. It also doesn't mean that God has forsaken you and that the answer and deliverance isn't going to come. It just means you need to press on. Just like the person who struggles with sin needs to resist that, struggles with the enemy, resist him, he'll flee. When doubt comes, we need to resist that. And a lot of times, and I'm not saying this is wrong, because if you're struggling with doubt, you need to pray. Spend more time in prayer. I'm not trying to minimize that at all. Not for one moment. And if you're struggling with doubt, you need to spend more time in the Word. Faith does come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Like a lot of times when we're really vacillating as far as our faith, it's a good sign we haven't been spending as much time in the Word as maybe we should have been. But when you're struggling with doubt, don't give up. Work through that. Doubt, continue, and it's not just acting on what the promise is, but resist the temptation to give up. Because there may be some here who are at the point, or maybe you've already taken that step, you just come here for whatever reason today, where you've given up. You've been struggling for sin, and you've been struggling with sin for so long, you've just given up, and I'm just not going to worry, I'm just going to give in and go out and sin. Right? You know, I've had this spiritual struggle going on or whatnot, and I'm just gonna give up. Don't give up. And don't give up serving God in your heart. Continue to live right before God. Honor God. Even though you don't feel it, well, I'm going to serve God anyways, even though I don't feel like it. Even though I don't feel like God is going to deliver me, I'm going to do it anyways. And continue to do your best in everything that you do. Continue to be that strong witness. Live out your life with the faith that God has placed in your heart, even when it's not as strong as it should be. In Jesus' name. As everyone's head is bowed and everyone's eyes are closed, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but just for a time of introspection, there is someone who's here today, and you've reached that point of despair where you're just ready to give up. I'm tired. I'm tired of the fight. And we're going to talk about this next week. It'll be the last message in this series, endurance. And it goes right along with obedience and faith and prayer. They all go together. You're here, you know, you just, I've just had this struggle. I've been fighting so long. I just want to give up. And not just fighting for this thing, I just want to give up altogether. Commit to God once again. Because let me tell you, although you haven't seen the immediate rewards, when everything's said and done, it will be worth it. Even as we mentioned last week, all things work together for the good of those who love God, those called according to His purposes. Even in the time of waiting, in time where things might have gotten worse, God is still doing things and doing good things. Don't give up on God yet. We're going to begin to sing, and as we sing, I'm going to open up the altars this morning, because it may be those who are really struggling with discouragement this morning. And I'm not going to ask you to come and ask God, although you know, feel perfectly free to pray whatever you feel in your heart. But the call this morning is not to come and ask God, oh God, restore that belief in my heart. By coming forward today, you're saying, God, I commit to serving you. I commit to acting out on my faith. Even when my heart is crumbling, I'm not going to give up. Lord, when my heart's weak, my mind and my body are going to take over. In the name of Jesus, I am not, in Jesus' name, going to give up on you. I'm not going to give up on your deliverance in my life. And I'm going to continue to obey you. I'm going to continue to serve you. I'm going to continue to live for you no matter what. In the holy name of Jesus. Let's stand. Let's sing a chorus of worship this morning. But if you need to make that commitment, I'm encouraging you right now to make your way forward and spend some time with God. And I know God will meet you in the precious name of Jesus. Let's worship God together. Hallelujah.